At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The official start of hour number 2 right here on the early line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. A lot of topics in hour number 1. You know that continues in hour number 2 right into hour number 3. It's Donnie Wright's out. It's Mark Zeno on a Wednesday morning bringing you all the updated information. And by the way, we are going to talk some Major League Baseball here in just a few moments. Jackson Merrill, young superstar stud for the San Diego Padres, inks a 9-year, $135 million contract with the Padres. If you follow and watch Pro Baseball Today, which you should be doing, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern. Tom Vecchio, my co-host, loves himself some Jackson Merrill, young stud. He gets the high payroll. But here we are, Mark. Hour number 2, vibes high, and at least other people getting paid out here in these streets.
Yeah. Better them than me, I suppose, is one way to look at it. But nonetheless, Padres off to a good start to start the season, and away we go.
Let's have some fun with this one, because I always like, you know, some of the injuries that we see sometimes in spring training. Hey, couldn't pitch. Why? Because he was cutting tomatoes and sliced his finger, but he'll be ready for the regular season. Giancarlo Stanton, if you look at him, it looks like he's actually sliced out of granite rock. Like, this guy looks like if anybody was never going to get injured, it would be Giancarlo Stanton. Yet every single year he's injured with some of the oddest injuries of, yeah, I look like I lift a lot of weights, but my calf hurts, my foot hurts, my hamstring hurts, my elbow hurts, my shoulder hurts. And we are going to start with the elbow here, which he's not playing for a couple months because both his elbows hurt. And they're asking him questions where, is it the torpedo bat that hurt both of your elbows? Make it make sense to me, Mark, if it does.
How would the bat hurt his elbows? Because the way it's weighted, I mean, are we really serious right now? Like, look, I'll say this much, okay? Take it from somebody who spends a fair amount of time in the gym. When you carry a lot of muscle like that, you sacrifice flexibility and length of muscle and the ability to have those muscles take a lot of strain on in a short period of time. That's just a physiological fact. And that's what happens to guys that are Giancarlo Stanton size, that it's easier to pull muscles because they're bigger, which means they're wrapped tighter, you know? And so this is what happens. You get a lot of strains and a lot of it, you know, problems with your joints because you put so much pressure on them constantly lifting weights. Is that an excuse for Giancarlo Stanton? No, it's not an excuse. But the fact of the matter is that the Yankees have known for the last 5 years that Giancarlo Stanton is going to spend 60 games on the IL every single year. That's part of the deal. So you paid him $30 million to have him only play 90 to 100 games a year. That's part of it. When you show up in the postseason and you hit like 7 home runs and 14 at-bats, a lot gets forgiven. But, you know, for the Yankees, you gotta get to the postseason.
Bad elbows to start the season. Tough scene out here in these streets. And also, we take a look at some other teams that have a lot of bad elbows, I guess. It's the Atlanta Braves. Maybe too many torpedo bats for the Braves at this point. They hurt all their elbows in spring training, and they can't even swing right now. Celebration because they scored one run last night and actually took a lead in the second inning. And then the celebration quickly is turned to sadness in the sixth inning, bottom of that inning. You have a home run that goes for Mookie Betts, and away the Braves go to 0-6 on the season. The Dodgers Rangers, conversely, now 7-0 on the season. Today, these two teams will match up once again. And at a minus 255 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's the Dodgers looking to go 8-0 today. The Atlanta Braves are on the West Coast. You like that home cooking and play the Marlins or the Nationals. It's a lot of fun. Or the Colorado Rockies. They're not getting that now, but it doesn't even feel like, Mark, they're competing right now is the problem.
Well, I mean, yes, it's hard to compete where, you know, overall to start the year, this is a team that has the lowest OPS in all of Major League Baseball. They have the lowest WRC plus, and dare I even ask about their batting average? That's a team 137, which is, by the way, you guessed it, the lowest in Major League Baseball. I'll do you one better one. You know, their K rate is 29.1%, which is the third highest, only behind the Rockies and the Nationals in all of Major League Baseball. So they need torpedo bats. Maybe they need a bigger ball. One way or another, they have to put the bat on the ball if they'd like to start scoring some runs.
It's pretty crazy at this point right now because they were picked to win this division. We still think they're a good baseball club. It just hasn't started that well. Now, we do like to say it is a long season. You open up winless in like your first 10 games. I know it's a long season, but that is a tough way to dig out. Now, understand there are ebbs and flows of the Major League Baseball season. The Braves might lose 10 in a row. They're probably going to win 10 in a row at some point during the regular season based on how the schedule actually opens up. Just a tough start playing against good ball clubs. And again, no end in sight. Like, okay, today's the day we win with our ace on the mound. He had it again, like Chris Sale's on the mound. Nope, doesn't matter at this point. Now you're going to have a different pitcher on the mound today. Minus 255 as the price point for the Dodgers to beat you again. We'll see how that plays out a little bit later today. Going to the Bronx yesterday, you might have saw like, hey, Devin Williams out there going to be on the paternity list at this point. I don't know if the Yankees will need that. They imploded late in that game in the top of the eighth inning. 5 runs scored by the Diamondbacks in a victory to give the Yankees their first loss of the season when it looks like they were going to control their own destiny again, being up 4-2 through the middle innings. It didn't work out in their favor. The Diamondbacks swinging those hot bats, which includes Eugenio Suarez leaving the yard with a big knock in the eighth inning.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a rant about Aaron Boone and his continual mismanagement of the bullpen because it is only the 50 or 6th game of the season, whatever it is at this point in time. But nonetheless, there's cause to believe that he mismanaged the bullpen in the 8th inning of that game because there's always that reality as Yankee fans. So it's one loss, but you know, you just get the feeling and the sense that like, hey, these are the kind of ones that towards the end of the year when you're fighting for a position and you needed one more win and you're running out of games, you're like, eh, we hadn't blown that one back in the third game of the season, fourth game of the season, this would be a different story. So nonetheless, you move on to the next day.
Yes, you do. It's baseball. If you win 2 out of 3 games in a series, you are doing your job regardless of who you play or where you play. That's always the goal here. But Eugenio Suarez now with 5 bombs on the season with 11 RBI already. We'll see if he can continue that hot march. I'll tell you who's not having a hot day yesterday was the Cincinnati Reds at the plate. They got shut out yesterday through only 4 hits, and that was a complete game shutout on April 1st for Nathan Eovaldi. 9 innings pitched, 4 hits, no earned runs, 8 Ks, and no walks, completely shutting down that lineup. And by the way, one solo home run in the first inning for Texas, the only run in that entire ballgame.
Yeah, far cry from the night before. The Texas Rangers gave up 14 to Ellie De La Cruz and everybody else with his new torpedo bat. So that's the reason why you got Nathan Eovaldi, right? Like, just the kind of closer that he's been, the kind of stopper, I should say, that he's been to put the clamps down and, you know, just a wonderful, masterful pitching performance. Stayed under 100 pitches for the whole game in a complete game shutout. You don't see that much anymore any often.
How about Sacto yesterday? More runs on the board. 7 by the Cubs, 4 by the Athletics. It started off hot, too. You got 5 runs right away in the first inning. Then both of the teams scored 2 more times in the third inning. So you had a 5-4 game already right off the bat, hitting that over early and often in that game. And it was also Tucker, 353 on the season, blast yet another home run yesterday. A good signing, paying dividends early for those Chicago Cubs.
Is there any better feeling that when you bet a 10 o'clock start time game, you could still be in bed by 11 because the over hit by the bottom of the third inning? Because that was fantastic last night for yours truly, who had the over. Look, I've supposed and I've said this here, DRS, that Sacramento ballpark to me looks like it's going to be a very hitters-friendly park. There's going to be a lot of a lot of balls flying out of that thing. So I'm going to continue to try to stay ahead of the market. They play an afternoon game today. Probably play the over once again.
Yeah, a lot of afternoon baseball. Just taking a look today. If I just hit the simulations, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3, and away we go. It's great stuff. You only have a couple late-night games tonight, primarily on the East Coast. It's baseball season. It's what we do. We handicap it and cover it all. More Major League Baseball talk next, right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Rolling along in hour number 2 of the early line. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Mark Zeno. It's a Wednesday morning. The place to be on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159, talking Major League Baseball. And one of the fun things that we do on this show is we bring out the hot topics. And hot meaning buy or sell, which means a series of questions on some hot topics that if you're buying it, explain yourself. If you're selling it, explain yourself as well. And we start with the Los Angeles Dodgers. They have been fantastic to open the season, and no surprises. By far on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the team that everybody wants to get a piece of here because they think they're going to win a World Series once again back-to-back, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. They should easily win their division. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers. The win totals, always the Los Angeles Dodgers at the top of the forefront. If you take a look at the graphic that we're going to provide right here, the win total on the season, 108.5. To get 100-plus wins, which is an incredible benchmark in baseball, minus 700. 110-plus wins at plus 112. 117 or more wins is a plus 400 price, which means they would break the record of the Seattle Seahawks, who didn't win anything, but just had a great regular season. Hopefully that's not a curse if the Dodgers expect to win that many games. So my question to you, Mark Zeno, the Los Angeles Dodgers, buy or sell, the Dodgers will win 117-plus regular season games in 2025.
Yeah, I'll sell it. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
The Mariners, when they won 116 games, were not this super team that was put together that had all these things that, you know, they just were a very complete team. And they avoided injury. And they had solid started pitching. And, you know, they played in a weak division. And by the way, that was back when the schedule was unbalanced, right? So you got 19 games against your division. You know, almost a third of your season was played against teams within your division. It's not the case anymore. It's just really hard. The travel is different. The players are different. Everything is different. So for them to have a record-setting season, would it shock us? No, because they have a very good ball club. But I wouldn't bet on history being made.
Yeah, we take a look at it, and I sell it as well. It's 117 as the number, which is incredibly high. Like some of the simulations, if we even take a look at here at Fangraphs, had the Dodgers winning 96, 97, 98 games at this point. So for me, I say to myself, boy, just to get to 100 is amazing. Now, we understand the depth of the Los Angeles Dodgers. The starting pitching is absolutely fantastic. The 1-9 on any given day can have 2 all-stars out of the lineup. It doesn't matter. Everybody picks themselves up. And the bullpen is absolutely fantastic. And enough money and prospects to go ahead at the trade deadline and really press the lever down is what the Dodgers can do. Unique situation throughout baseball, not necessarily the Dodgers advantage. But when you take a look here in the regular season, they open up in Japan. Beat the Cubs 4-1, beat the Cubs 6-3. Go back to spring training before they reopened, quote unquote, for opening day against the Detroit Tigers. All home games, 5-4, 8-5, 7-3 victories here. Then they played the Braves at home. Two games, 6-1, 3-1, with the closing of that series today in an afternoon game, like a 5:38 start, whatever it is, out on the West Coast. So I find myself looking at the Dodgers saying, we always thought they would be tremendous, but it's still baseball. Even if they're going to be favored, Mark, 150 games out of 162 games, I don't think they can still win 117-plus wins. Now, you might be looking at it right now, they're unbeatable. They might go undefeated the whole season. But you still see the price point. 117-plus wins is plus 400. It's not minus 400 at this point. So there is that demarcation line they have to spread. But what, honestly, if you said, you know what, looking at those numbers, 100 wins, 110 wins, 117 wins, where do you put the Dodgers win total at for yourself this season if it's not going to be, let's just say, a record-breaking 120 wins?
I mean, 105, you know, 106. I mean, it's just, here's the thing you have to remember. And here are the pitfalls to this whole thing, DRS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And things have changed. Mentality has changed around players. Go back to the 98 Yankees who won 114 regular season games. One, they were coming off a year where they got eliminated from the postseason in pretty devastating fashion to the Cleveland Indians at the time. And they were hungry to win a title again after winning one in 96. It's not the case for the Dodgers or the defending champs. You look at, you know, again, Seattle, when they won 116, they were a team that, you know, wanted the record because Seattle doesn't have any records over anything. So when they got close, they talked about how it was a concerted effort to get there. What happens nowadays in September? The Dodgers have 108 wins, and we are on September 4th. You're like, oh God, all I got to do is win 11 more games the rest of the year. Well, you know what? We went to a six-man rotation because we're saving arms for the postseason. We got September call-ups here. We're going to give this guy a shot to pitch. We're going to sit down Ohtani. We're going to sit down Freeman. We're going to sit down Betts because we got all these guys here because guess what? I'd rather have these guys healthy for the playoffs, and I don't care if we win these games because guess what? We've already locked up the division with 108 wins by this point in time, and we don't care if we get to 117. Those are all the pitfalls that sit here for the Dodgers because, hey, guess what? To them at that point, they don't care about a record. What they care about is winning another World Series. So they'll pull up late, and they won't worry about trying to win as many games down the stretch to go get 117 wins or even 112 wins or even 114 wins because it doesn't matter to them because for them, it's about winning a second consecutive title.
Exactly correct, because if you got to 120 wins and Major League Baseball goes, well, that's the benchmark, you automatically win the World Series, no postseason, they probably win 120 games because they would press it down in the month of September. But you're right. If you have an 11-game lead with 9 games to go, which means you already clinched the division, you are not throwing, you know, glass now on the final day of the season to get that 118th victory because it's more important that you actually win a World Series. Case in point, did you watch the NFL season this year? Saquon Barkley could have very easily got the all-time rushing record in the regular season. But cooler heads prevailed and said, is this about you getting this record with a chance at injury and then we don't win the Super Bowl? What was the season actually for? Or let's keep you rested so you can get the ball 30-plus times in every playoff game and help us win a Super Bowl, which the Eagles did. It's an ultimate team game here. And as Mark pointed out, you also won a World Series last year. World Series is always the goal. We remember the Mariners, but not because they actually set the record. Like, that's a fantastic team. I remember the Mariners more, Mark, because on my side, they didn't win a World Series. And you go, wow, they won all that game for nothing at that point. Now, if they would have won the World Series with the most wins, that would have been absolutely phenomenal, impressive. But the goal is to win the World Series. Now, the Atlanta Braves, their goal is to win one baseball game. Buy or sell next, Braves edition.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Ah, buy or sell. Easy to take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers for the season we expected from them and also how the season has began for the Dodgers. Nothing short of incredible. How many games will they win before they actually get their first loss? But here, when we try to take a look at a buy or sell as an addition, it's perfect because the Dodgers, who are winning baseball games every single day, are playing the Atlanta Braves, who aren't winning any baseball games any day right now. You take a look at the schedule as it's set up for the Atlanta Braves already. On the road for 4 games against the Padres, now in a series with 3 games against the Dodgers. 7-4, 4-3, 1-0, 5-0 losses to the Padres. Then they head up the turnpike there and they say, you know what? Let's take a look at the Dodgers. Now, let's score one run in a 6-1 loss. Let's score another one run in a 3-1 loss. And who knows what we're going to get today on offense out of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Because if they score 2 runs, they probably end up beating the Atlanta Braves. So if we take a look at the Atlanta Braves on the season and take a look at some of their odds, win total, 89.5 games. The postseason, yes, at minus 188. The postseason, no, now at plus 148. And the World Series at a 12-1 price. I don't think there's panic in Atlanta just yet, but the question for you by yourself, Mark, the Braves will miss the postseason.
Well, I would say bye, but I said that before they started the season 0-6, so I didn't think that they were a playoff team then. I'm not going to change my mind on that. Look, for some reference, the Braves had 2 6-game losing streaks last year and somehow managed to make the postseason. And they limped into it, and they probably shouldn't have been there. But nonetheless, they were still able to get there. So to your point, DRS, no panic yet. But it's very alarming that for one game to start the year, you couldn't put anything together. You couldn't put offense and defense together for one game, right? Like, you keep talking about baseball regression and what it is, how it just sort of levels off that because you can't be excellent for 162 games. Just like you can't be terrible for 162 games. Something has to go right on one given day for the Braves. I'll keep saying it. Now I'm at the point right now where I'm just going to start firing Braves money line because they're eventually going to win a game. I don't know when it's going to be, but I feel like at a plus 275 today against the Dodgers, feels like a great time to go Braves money line.
You have to understand, too, expectations for Acuna coming back sooner than later, which is going to help. Taking a look at, you know, starting pitchers that are coming back, like Spencer Strider, sooner than later, that is going to help. But just the optics are terrible. Now, also, those optics would be much worse if it was we're playing on a day-to-day basis, Mark. Hey, it's Marlins for 8 straight games, or the Nats for 8 straight games. Those are chances you can quickly turn it around. But now you're playing 2 teams in the Dodgers that haven't lost and the Padres that haven't lost. Now, the one thing they have in common is they keep beating the Braves. So maybe it's the Braves that, yeah, easy competition. We roll right over them. If you look at the Braves lineup coming into tonight, you're not going to win very many games against even the Colorado Rockies if your batting looks like this. Ozzie Albies, 136. Austin Riley, 091. Matt Olson, 167. Marcelo Ozuna, 214. Brian De La Cruz, 0. Michael Harris, 130. Orlando Arcia, 154. Eli White, 0. Chadwick Trump, 0. You're not going to win. Put it this way. If you're getting 3 runs per game on like an average, you should be winning those games handily in Major League Baseball. But 3 runs now seems like an absolute mountain for the Braves to get a victory at this point. But for me, the buy or sell, the Braves will miss the postseason. I'm still going to sell that right now because I do think they're a quality ball club that will get it together. The ebbs and flows of the season, eventually they'll balance out. And even if they get a win tonight. But as we know, Mark, that pressure does start to build with every game you lose. Like, is the sky falling? Will we ever win a Major League Baseball game? And when they do, I doubt, Mark, it's 1-0 or 2-1. It feels like a 14-2 victory will be their first win.
Will we ever win another game again? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it feels like at this point in time. But look, like you said, it's a little early to start panicking. But nonetheless, you'd just like to see one game then break out and put up 5 or 6 runs so you could feel like normal again.
Look, feeling like normal, it's like, whew, finally got a pitcher we can hit today. You know who's on the mound for the Dodgers tonight? 8:38 start Eastern, 5:38. It's Blake Snell. Left-handed star, looking maybe for a Cy Young. Minus 235 is the favorite here. Across the, as high as minus 260 at some outlets, and a total of 8.5 tonight. So if you're struggling at the plate, Mark, now you're getting Blake Snell. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a part of me that just feels like baseball in and of itself could lend Snell to not having his greatest start. Graves doing enough to push it across, or even Snell is a good start where he only lets up two runs, and that's finally enough for the Braves to win a game 2-1. But I'm definitely playing Braves money line.
We're talking Aaron Judge coming up next. Kevin Walsh says maybe the most overrated player in baseball. Uh-oh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Buy or sell, Major League Baseball edition, having some fun. It's Donnie Wright said it's Mark Zinno. Hot topics here all the way through. We're only a week into the season. We've got many more weeks and many, many more games to go, but we could take advantage of some opportunities to talk about what a season could possibly be for some of the great players in Major League Baseball, which includes Aaron Judge, MVP, small ballpark. How many home runs can he hit? So let's take a look at Aaron Judge. If we look at his home run total for the season updated to 50.5 home runs, to be the home run leader in Major League Baseball, a plus 130 price. To hit 70 bombs, 14-1 price. And to be the AL MVP once again, now minus money with a bit of juice at minus 110. You take a look at Aaron Judge on the season so far. 4 home runs, 11 RBI, hitting .400 already on the season. So the buy or sell question for you, Mark Zinno, is this. Aaron Judge will hit 70-plus bombs this season in Major League Baseball.
Sell. Oof. I don't know if he'll be healthy enough. I don't know if he can keep up the pace. I mean, look, if there's anybody who can do it, it's absolutely him. But, you know, again, part of what he had in the years where he hits a lot of home runs is he had protection in the lineup, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of this may depend on Goldschmidt and Jazz Chisholm and, you know, what else they've put together in Bellinger to give him some support in the lineup to make it more amenable for him to be able to hit home runs at a high pace. So that, along with staying healthy, another big factor in being able to do this, playing 162 games. Guess what? You're chasing the record. You don't get a Sunday off, right? Now he may get the DH here and there, but you don't get a Sunday off otherwise. So there's a lot of factors that stand in the way. So I'll sell it.
Yep, and then they also, what they do, Mark, they push you up from the two spot to the one spot to get every possible at bat that you possibly can get, even if it doesn't make sense in your lineup. You want to see the guy break the record. Now, understand this, too. When we look at the odds on, you know, buy or sell 70-plus home runs, it's not plus 100. It's like, hey, coin flip, let me ask you that question. It's 14-1. It's an incredible feat to hit that many. And understand, as we talked, Mark, about the Dodgers heading down the stretch, can they win 120 games? Sure they can. But if they don't need to, why are you going to press that needle down? But also saying how good Aaron Judge is. If he's on a pace to hit 70 home runs, what happens late in the season? You get the Barry Bonds treatment. You might get one pitch to hit the entire way through all of your at-bats in one night here. It's pretty hard then to start cranking home runs as if they're like, you're a strikeout guy at that point, right?
And honestly, I mean, 14-1 to do something that only two other guys in the history of the game have done, and they were both cheating to do it, that's not high enough odds. Like, I need like 30-1, right? Like think about something historic. Right. When the season started to go back to Saquon, odds to break, you know, the all time rushing record, it wouldn't have been 14-1, right? Like, or a 2,000 yard season wouldn't have been 14-1. It would have been higher than that. So, you know, I just don't know if there's enough bang for my buck there to make that kind of future wager with so much standing in front of him. The guy could have 65 home runs, still have the greatest season, win MVP again. And guess what? I still lose my bet.
Yeah. And he does play in a Little League ballpark, but it's really Little League to left-handed batters here pulling the baseball down the line. So he's earning those home runs when he's pulling the baseball at Yankee Stadium. And also understands, you might be chiming in, but yeah, he's going to break it. He uses that torpedo bat. It's illegal. He doesn't even use the torpedo bat. And he said that multiple times where I do get a kick. Oh, it's not fair. Aaron Judge bombing away. He doesn't use that bat. So it's not like even if that bat made all that much of a difference, it's not in his grips right now. He still has four home runs early in the season. I just can't wait to see Yankee Stadium, Mark, once we get to 85 and 90 degrees on those hazy days in July, August, and early September. Those will be some fun games to watch. But for me, I'll also sell it. 70 home runs is incredible. Not only do you have to be at the peak of your sport, pitchers not pitching around you, and at the same time not being injured where you miss 15 to 20 days during a stretch. It's tough to do. That's why it's 14 to 1. I'll sell it as well. Let's keep it in division in the AL East, because one team that I had high expectations for, maybe not to win the World Series, but compete for the AL East crown, make the playoffs, maybe win a series or so once you get there. And one of the linchpins on that team, it was Rafael Devers. So if we take a look at Rafael Devers' 2025 season log right now, it's incredible. 0-4, 0-4, 0-4, 0-4, 0-4, 0-3. Like, oh, that's bad. He's not even making contact with the baseball as the strikeouts pile up. So the buy or sell question for you, Mark, here is the Red Sox should have just left Rafael Devers alone at third base.
I would sell it because look at the player you got in return, which is Lance Bregman, which is a very good everyday baseball player and a guy who can help you win games. Now, is there an argument to say that they could have kept him at third base, meaning kept him there and made Bregman play somewhere else or done something else to create a spot in the line? I don't know the Red Sox that well enough to know what that would look like from a roster standpoint, but, you know, Rafael Devers is off to a bad start because Rafael Devers is off to a bad start. It has nothing to do with whether he plays third base or not or whether Lance Bregman is on the team or not. I think he should snap out of it at some point, but he wouldn't be the first guy to have an 0-for-19 slump and still have a pretty successful season. It happens.
Yeah, Major League Baseball, too. The shame of it is, like, these players get amped up early on because that's when you're supposed to build your, you know, batting average and your statistics that are going to level out during the season. Like, hey, man, I hit 450 in the month of April. You're probably going to have a pretty good summer regardless of how you do. But when you start out hitting 060, what it might be in the month of April, it's hard to be like, hey, I fought all the way back to 290, which is where I probably should be. Here's the other issue, too, that you take a look at, where it's sometimes it is in the mind of a baseball player. And if you've never DH'd, it's probably a little bit different. Like, hey, you want to do it a game or two? Like, you know, hey, Skip, I need the day off here, but I can DH, just a little bit bulky on my hamstring, but I think I can swing the bat today. Cool, we'll put you at DH, focus on that, and away you go. But as a DH, you're not involved in the game. Like, you're getting up to the plate 4 to 5 times, but that's it. You're not in the field. Your mind's not set on thinking about every pitch or every play where you're ingrained, where you're going innings without any movement, but going back down the steps in the dugout to maybe take a cut, take an extra couple cuts in the, you know, room where it's like, you know, the tee is set up at this point, batting cages here, maybe get a couple live pitches. So I do think that plays into it. For me, I don't know if they should have left him at, you know, non-DH, but maybe have a process where he plays in the field at some point, because it's clear, Mark, it's in his head right now. He can't get out of the slump because he's just not used to not playing the field and being involved in the day-to-day that normal baseball players are.
I mean, again, and this is where I would push back. When did it get in his head? Was it after going 0-for-8? Was it 0-for-12? Or was it 0-for-15? Like, I mean, you know, at what point in time did it get in his head? That's because he's not playing third. That's why he's swinging and missing. I don't know if I can correlate the two. I would tell you that, again, some of this is just freak happenstance. Some of it is, you know, something might be, there might be a hole in his swing, or there might be some challenges with what, you know, he's seeing, or some of it might just be dumb bad luck. I mean, you know, I think in general it's a combination of all those things when you start this way. But for a guy who was so good, for him to be this bad is a pretty dramatic shift. And I don't think it's as simple as he's just not playing third base.
But, I mean, I think it was in his head, like, obviously way before the season. Like, the minute that you go out and say, okay, we're going to bring over Alex Bregman, he's going to play third base, and you saw the repeated headlines, like, even from his own players, like, I don't think they should move Devers from third base. And Devers gone, I'm the third baseman. He could play wherever he wants. It's not going to be third base. So I think he had an issue with it right away. Now, also, he does have a plenty of money and a huge contract here, but I don't think anybody's ever, like, particularly in baseball, like, your team might tank, but there are individual statistics that you are graded on and you're talked about and you never want to be embarrassed. It's more like at the end of the season where it's like, you know what? I get paid on my batting average, RBI, and home runs that I hit here. I don't feel like playing the last couple weeks of September. I'm just going to strike out every time at the plate. Same way NBA players don't do it. Think LeBron James goes, man, I don't really feel like playing these final three games of the regular season. I'll go out there and not make any shots, goof around. Like, they don't do that. You're graded on your statistics, and his statistics are the worst in baseball. Now, he does have one RBI without any base hits, 19 at bats, a zero batting average. So maybe it does change today. But for me, they should have just left him alone. Maybe should have conversed with him previously, because it's clearly affecting his head. Did you guys know the Final Four is playing this weekend? Good that I reminded you, because we're talking about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
It's Wednesday. It's hump day, which means halfway through the week once we get through today, which then turns into Thursday, Friday, and Final Four Saturday. And what a day that's going to be. A doubleheader of fantasticness in college basketball. Every seed is a number one. Superstars left and right. Big-time coaches. San Antonio, Texas from the Alamo Dome. The stage won't be brighter than that. Game number one, Mark, 6:09 Eastern. Game number two, 8:49 Eastern. It's Florida-Auburn. It's Houston and Duke. But the game I want to focus on right now is Florida versus Auburn. Before we get into the actual lines themselves and where the moves might be going and where they wind up by Saturday, let me ask you this question, because it's a big one. Jahni Broome, one of the single best players in college basketball, comes up a little bit lame in his game against Michigan State, holding his elbow. Any thoughts for you? Any trepidation that if you are going to back Auburn, you're not so sure he's healthy, or you're not worried about it at this point?
I mean, I feel like we would be hearing a lot more if there was legitimate concern as to whether he's going to be able to play or not. Was it more of a Willis Reed type deal than anything else? You know, where he, you know, just comes in for a shot in the arm and then gets out of dodge. I mean, I don't know, but. I feel pretty secure in the fact that Jahni Broome is going to be playing here, so I don't have much concern.
Let's take a look, Mark, at the odds themselves and where they sit now. The FanDuel Sportsbook opened this game up -2.5 at a -115 price for the Florida Gators. The line currently sits today -2.5, -114 for the Florida Gators. We look at the total itself. Opened up at FanDuel in New Jersey, 161.5, now sits today at 160.5. So today on a Wednesday, before these games play on Saturday, what's your thought process on the line where it opened and also where you think that line might actually be come tip-off on Saturday night?
I think the number opened correct. I made it -2, -2.5 myself, so I didn't have any real disagreements with it. I would tell you, I think the over is correlated to Florida and the under is correlated to Auburn. That said, I do think Auburn is the sharp side here. There's not for as many people who have backed Florida this year along the way and the way that they've done it and the way Florida beat Auburn earlier this year, that line probably feels shorter to certain people than what you would think. So I would consider this thing is probably going to move to 3 within the next 24 hours as people continue to back Florida. And I think that's sort of in a certain sense what sharper bettors are waiting for is for the three to pop up. Let's get one full possession here and make sure that we have it in our back pocket if needed. But, you know, there's an argument to say that, look, you know, I don't think the spread's going to matter in either one of these games. I think you just pick the winner. I think the dog wins outright, the favorite wins and covers by a wide margin. It's one of those type of feelings. And I would argue, I think both of these games may be blowouts. Whichever team you have winning, I think is going to do so convincingly by 8-10, or it's not really going to be that close. So just because we have four number one seeds doesn't mean that the games are going to be 100% equitable. And I don't say that like I'm expecting bad basketball, but I think you're going to get one side dominant and the other side not.
Take a look at that total, right? FanDuel in New Jersey, 161.5, now down to 160.5. Other outlets, Mark, showing 159.5 here. We do understand what's taking place in here with an NCAA team usually playing in an NCAA arena or an NBA arena now going into the Alamo Dome, which is a football stadium. Any thoughts or trepidations about if you want to back the over where you're saying to yourself, maybe I don't do that because these two teams, Florida-Auburn, haven't played in any domes, whereas we'll get to Houston, has played a couple games in domes.
Well, this is one of these critical key spots where you play a first half under, right? Because I think the pace probably starts a little bit slower at the outset. I think neither team wants to get themselves in a big hole, so they'll be more methodical on possessions. And I think that they'll focus on defense. And I think that's really what it boils down to here. You know, there's an argument I say all the time here, DRS, that if it ain't going over early, it ain't probably ain't going over late, right? I mean, it's hard to... Is it impossible to see a, you know, 80-point second half between these two teams, 80 to 90-point second half? No, it's not possible given these two teams at all and the way that they play. But, you know, if the pace isn't frenetic and fast early, I'm not sure that you're going to get a tale of two halves where all of a sudden in the second half it looks completely different than the first.
Yeah, you're taking a look at some of the defensive footprints of both of these teams. Florida Gators, top 10 in the country here in efficiency. The Auburn Tigers at 8 overall in efficiency. You take a look at the Florida offense, number 2 overall in efficiency in the country, and the Auburn Tigers, number 3 overall. Like, it's just going to be, it sets up to be an unbelievably talented Final Four with all of these one seeds with legitimate chances to win. But sometimes I do question what we're going to get right out of the gate in game number one, and specifically the first half of game number one. They'll get some chances down in San Antonio to get the shooting lanes and the practice there. But once you get to the game, it's a little bit different. You're no longer playing in front of between 10 to 15 to 20,000 fans. You're now up to 60, 70, and 80,000 fans in a monster arena that some of the shooting lanes might be a little bit tough. So you take a look there at Walter Clayton Jr. We love guard play here. And it seems like the Florida Gators are going to go as far as Walter Clayton Jr. takes them. The same thing with Jahni Broome. If we line both of those guys up in this game, and I said, Mark, if you want to just bet prop bets, whether it's overs or unders, which player would you focus on more, Broome or Clayton?
Well, Broome. I mean, points and rebounds would be the easiest way to go because that's kind of what his bag is, right? Like, that's what he does really well, better than most people in the country. So if you're asking me about, you know, an over in a situation where who would I back or what would I think, I would take Broome. He's been a very consistent player in that regard when it comes to points and rebounds, and he's probably the most trustworthy guy to do so, other than Cooper Flagg, of course.
I'm interested to see what that elbow actually does, but I think your point is very valid because the first people to know, usually the handicappers slash the people in the room setting those lines. And if that line is opening up at 2.5 and still sitting at 2.5 with the best player on the court with a chance to either be heavily hampered or not playing, then that line certainly be on the move. The same thing if that happened with, let's just say again, Cooper Flagg of the Duke Blue Devils, where if we weren't sure how healthy he was going to be on Saturday, I'll tell you right now, the Duke Blue Devils are not going to be favored by 5.5 to 6 points wherever you're shopping around getting those lines at here. So we are going to talk about that next, but I'm excited. Like, Florida-Auburn to start up the Final Four, absolutely sensational, then followed by Duke and Houston. So you take a look at all number ones here, and the efficiency on all of these teams is incredible. And to watch you play out live, we're going to be so happy to see that done. The Sports Grid coverage is going to continue all week long into Saturday and the championship game. It's the place to be, baby. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Final Four Saturday quickly approaching as we get down to business here on a Wednesday at the Sports Grid Network. Game number one, Florida-Auburn. What an appetizer to maybe the main event, and that would be Houston and Duke at 8:49 Eastern, San Antonio, Texas. And we'll start with the lines as we did previously here, Mark, for Florida and Auburn. Before we handicap the game or get people up to date, let's just take a look at where the lines are actually moving. FanDuel in New Jersey opened up this line early in the week at a -4.5 price, -115 towards the Duke Blue Devils as the favorite here. The total opened up at 136.5, where it stands live right now, -5.5 as a favorite at -106 for the Duke Blue Devils, and the total unchanged at 136.5. So seeing these lines based on the opening numbers, where they sit today, and also, Mark, where you think some of these lines might wind up by tip time on Saturday in San Antonio.
Well, it's not a doubt in my mind this will be at 6 or 6.5 by the time they tip it off.
Oh, boy.
Public's going to continue to hammer Duke. That's what's going to happen here. So if you're waiting on Houston or you think Houston wins, I would wait until we get closer to Saturday. But you've seen this number slowly start to creep. Even at that, the first half number is starting to creep up as well. So obviously there's a correlation there, but I don't see how this doesn't hit 6. I genuinely don't.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it plays out, too, because typically you see those lines rip and run, like where that total is 155, 160, a lot more possessions, a lot more chance to maybe stretch that lead out. You might not get this in this because both of these teams aren't ultra-fast, particularly with Houston, much more methodical. But having said that, if you just look at the one metric that comes into this game, based on KenPom, number one in the country at adjusted efficiency on offense, it's Duke. Number one in defense at adjusted efficiency, it's Houston here. If we just look at that side of the basketball, Duke's offense, Houston's defense, who actually has the edge since both are ranked number one in their respective parts?
Well, again, Cooper Flagg is the ultimate, you know, cheat code, so to speak, given what he can do. But Houston's great team defense is the issue. And Houston may turn around and look at this game and go, you know, we might just give Cooper Flagg what he wants. We're just going to stop everybody else. And that may be, you know, enough for them to get through this thing here. But this is one of the best defenses we've seen in college basketball in the last 20 years. So I think that Duke is going to have their hands full with this team defensively in Houston, what they can do. But pace is really what, to me, this game will come down to. Houston is not winning a 78-74 basketball game. Not against this team. They could do it against, you know, TCU, but they're not doing that against this team. So the whole measure here for Houston is to keep Duke to 70 points or less. That's how they end up winning this game. If Duke is above 75, I don't know that I don't know that Duke has a chance, because look, on the flip side of this here, you talked about the number one rankings in offensive and defensive efficiency. Duke's defensive rating is 4 and Houston's offensive rating is 10. So, they're going to have to figure out a way to put up enough points in this game as well in order to beat them. But the best defense, their best offense they could put together is a good defense against Duke. And I think Duke should try and speed them up, because I think slowing them down to a Houston team that plays 360th out of 364 teams in adjusted tempo, you're not going to beat Houston at their own game. That's what they're really good at. If you saw what Purdue did to Houston, that game looked so frenetic and out of sorts. Houston's offense was never able to really get going in the first half, which is why it was a game made up the whole entire way. Well, if Duke speeds up Houston and continues to push the pace, they are going to frustrate Houston, and they're going to miss a lot more shots than they're going to make.
Both elite three-point shooting teams, which is interesting based on the eyesight that we're going to get of those lines here, of the shooting lanes, this Saturday night, something to watch out for. But let me ask you a question, too, on the coaches. John Shire, a couple years into his Duke tenure after taking over Coach K, going up against Kelvin Sampson. Any coaching discrepancies that you look at here? Or they both got there. It's big programs. They should be fine. Or any ways that you see around that?
I mean, again, other than the schematics that I just talked about as far as how fast they want to play, this is more about Jimmy's and Joe's than X's and O's, right? Duke has been very good this year about playing up to the tempo of their opponent, but I just don't know that it benefits against this particular team. So I think John Shire will have to figure out a way to keep the pace moving as fast as possible.
Duke, elite shooting the three-point shot, loves to shoot that with volume, and the Houston defense will let you shoot with volume but defend it at the same time. Could it be a battle of which team makes the three-point shot Saturday night down in San Antonio? Two great games. Houston, Duke, looking forward to that one. You know what else we're looking forward to? Hour number three is up next right here on The Grid.